tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everybody, welcome into the Keeping Up with the Kardashians after show.
It's Armenian folk music.
I've never heard it before.
Well, of course you haven't, because you don't know anything about Armenian folk music.
I don't. Thank you for enlightening me.
jumping into this, you are watching the AfterBuzz Kardashians after show. We are talking special delivery today, tonight, Sunday night. I'm Bobby DeMiro, Frankie, Nick Sterling. Ladies and gentlemen, hello.
Hi.
Everybody's in a weird mood. Let's start with something that did not happen on the show.
Ooh, lyrics.
Wow.
This is making me feel really weird.
And you feel great.
So I thought one of you was talking and I was going to be like, can we get into the show?
No. Yeah.
It's a voice. Okay. All right, let's move on.
Let's get started.
Let's get serious for a second. We're going to talk about something that's not on the show, but more important than anything we've seen on the Kardashians probably ever is Bruce Jenner.
Yes. The time has come to finally discuss this with some actual facts.
With the only actual facts that we've ever had.
I done told y'all.
Rumors.
I done told y'all.
I don't feel bad about you done telling us that, though.
You shouldn't.
That's right, Sterling.
I mean, assuming makes an ass of you and me. I've always said it. Even though, in this case, though, it happens to be correct, but we didn't know all of the facts behind it, and now I feel like I can have a real factual conversation about it
instead of speculation and talking in circles.
I'm with you, but I'm just getting a lot of tweets to say, I gotta tell y'all, I done told y'all, so I'm doing that. Now, reactions to Bruce.
I roll.
I think he came across very, very well.
Yeah. I thought it was well done.
It was a great interview.
Mm-hmm. It was the perfect venue. It was professional. It was classy. It wasn't cheesy. It didn't seem at all to me, although we will address it, it didn't seem at all fame-seeking, which you have to wonder about with this family, and he acknowledged that in the interview, too.
Right.
But it didn't seem like he was doing it just for fame. It was...
No.
That thought, I understand we have to acknowledge that with that family, but that never crossed my mind at all from the whole time.
Well, I was thinking if this was not true, that this was kind of like a publicity thing to get people just talking. But, I like how he joked about it in the interview and was like, us do something for publicity?
What do you mean?
But
at the same time, I don't think it was for publicity. Mm-mm. Obviously, this is something you don't just pull out of your back pocket just to get a couple of fans.
Absolutely.
But it is a really good time in our country, especially, to be having this conversation. And, you know, I feel for him because this is something that he has had to struggle with his entire life through 3 marriages, raising 10 kids. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, how hard that must have been, especially not only personally, but with his family involved as well. But I am a genuine believer. I was talking to Frankie about this earlier, and like, we all have our purpose is in this world. And even though he talked about this at the beginning of the interview when he said, you know, I think God was just like, what am I going to have this little boy struggle with in his life? And that was to give him the soul of a woman. And that's what he said. And I thought that was really interesting because I do believe we have our own purposes in life. And, you know, everything he accomplished, all of his gold medals, you know, career-wise, that is a great accomplishment. But also raising 10 great children, smart children, and I really think that is his purpose. But him now having this conversation with all of society is so important.
Very important.
Bobby, and you've mentioned this before when we've talked about Bruce, is that our parents' generation, they know him as this Olympian, blah, blah. A lot of us know him as a reality star on the Kardashians. So there is that generational connect now that we're having this conversation so that the people who might be more conservative and older generations are able to have this conversation about transgender community, but also it is so important important with what's happening right now.
And it's not a conversation that we'll have on this show because it doesn't apply to us, but the aspect, the Olympic aspect, the sports aspect, it's very, very, there's a very important discussion in sports going on right now with Michael Sam, the football player who came out about gay athletes, and now about, you know, transgendered athletes or not normative athletes, not the heterosexual,
quote unquote,
you know,
normal.
Whatever you consider normal in the past. This furthers that discussion again. Even though he's not an athlete anymore, he was one of the best ever. He's one of the best Olympians ever. And
the best probably, in the world at the time,
It's Michael Phelps of the 1970s. Right. That's the comparison.
Well, and he's the oldest and most well-known public figure that has come out with this specific thing. It's been a struggle throughout his life, but I don't think he sees it as a negative thing. That's something that, you know what I mean, that takes away from him.
Not anymore.
Now that he's out about it and able to live as he really wants to is great for him.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly courageous for him to go on national television and do something like this that so many people are talking about and were talking about it before. And now that conversation, that door has been opened for that conversation and it's a healthy one at that.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. And I think it was very courageous.
I loved, that people were using the term or the word hero. And a lot of people were using it. And articles were using it, and I really think it's true. Aside from everything that he is going through and everything that he's doing, and he was saying, like, that's amazing on its own, but the takeaway, the ripple effect that it will have is really what I think stands out. And I loved the mother, what she said, the tape at the end.
That was so
cute.
She
said, I never thought I could be more proud of you, but I am right now. And I was, that's amazing.
I love, like we were saying, that now this is a conversation and people are aware of it, because aside from a few ignorant comments that I saw on Twitter, I saw mostly positive discussions, people saying, wow, you have to think about sexuality and gender. They're two completely different things. And it doesn't, you know, one doesn't necessarily affect the other. You know what I mean? So it was a really, 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 really good discussion.
Yeah.
I'm interested too in, this may sound strange, but in trying to capture maybe middle America or not LA, not New York, because we live in a very entertainment driven community, we're in a bubble. And there's a lot of people in our bubble who are LGBT. Tons. Mm-hmm. And it's just for us, especially in our generation and especially in our job, it's normal. And we're like, what's the difference? You're cool. That's not so in middle America, or it's not outwardly so in a lot of places.
Right.
And Bruce Jenner is, and I hate to use this word, it's weird, but he's more of a normal-looking person to bring this conversation about. He doesn't, you know, dress unconventionally. He doesn't live an unconventional lifestyle. He was an Olympian. He's a normal family guy. He's a normal man who you look at, and he's a speaker, and he's very well-spoken. And people see him and then say, wait a second. He's going through this. This is a normal guy. Mm-hmm. Whether we can relate to him or not, maybe this opens up the conversation for people who, if somebody else had done this, would have looked at them and said, you're a weirdo, man. We're not interested in having this
more relatable is what you're saying. He's not separate. That's a good point.
And I think that this kind of goes back to what I was saying before, but this goes off your point that, you know, and I didn't realize this before, that he was taking the hormones in the 80s for 5 years. And if he had come out about this then it could have very well just been blown over. It was the 80s. You know, stuff was happening. But now that he has not only the audience that knew him as an Olympian, but also the audience that knows him as the reality star, and bringing that together, and this is happening, you know, years later, as opposed to in the 80s, I think that just makes the hugest difference. And that goes back to when I believe that, like, someone has a purpose. And I feel like that is just, you know, it makes the hugest difference, the timing of it.
Oh, exactly. Timing is everything.
And his fan base, because he does have all of the Kardashian fans that follow along as well.
Yeah, he's able to have an outreach that he wouldn't have had prior to the Kardashians.
Exactly.
And it really is, as crazy as it sounds, like the perfect storm at this point for everything to just come to a peak right now. I think the world is ready for it. We can see by the tweets. I mean, I was real, like you said, I was taken aback at the overwhelming positive reaction to it.
And at the same time, as it does do, you know, open up that conversation that we've been talking about, which is so amazing for our society. But, you know, you would never want him to have to continue that struggle for that long. So if he was able to do that in the 80s, then, you know, but I guess he just wasn't ready then. He Yeah, he had kids after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He was really concerned about his family.
Yeah.
And not, you know. And we all heard from everyone, including Chris, though not necessarily on the documentary. Mm-hmm. They're all overwhelmingly supportive. And they're honest, though. Kylie and Chloe both have said that this is a little bit difficult to go through, but they're supportive and understanding.
That honesty is a good thing, too. Because anybody else who does this, if somebody sees Bruce and says, hey, I need to go to my family and say the same thing, they're going to have family members who say, I don't get it. What did I do wrong? Whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
So seeing, Chloe's honesty or Kylie's honesty tells them, hey, I can still love this person, even if I'm struggling with what their choice, what they are. I need to take the time to get there, and it's mm-hmm. normal.
This yeah, because if my mom or my dad ever came out and said something like that to me, I really don't even know what I would
right.
think.
You can't yeah. I can't put yourself in those no. shoes unless yeah. it's something you've been through.
Exactly.
I read something on Twitter. I don't know who tweeted it. I don't think it was a celebrity. But somebody said, finally now, this family that has no reason for being famous has a reason to be famous.
Well, that's exactly like when Bruce said, that one of my favorite parts in the whole interview is when he raised his hand. He said, like, I had the yeah. real story.
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny because he was kind of shooting them down at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. In a way, he's like, all the BS that's going on there, I had it. Which, who would have ever thought that? You watch the show, he was always just a back burner character in it, and you never thought. But, yeah.
I like that he was wearing his wedding ring still. Did you guys
see
that?
I didn't notice that.
And it was really, I think, touching when he said if Chris was a little bit more okay with it, they would still be together. And, you know, no negative towards Chris, because I don't know what I would do in that situation either. But I love that you could tell that there's still that friendship and that love. And you see it in the show.
And they genuinely loved each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's another thing that, you know, because his first two marriages didn't work out, not necessarily because of this, you know, what he was going through, but his first marriage, he fell in love with another woman, and so he got married a second time. Yeah. But the first two wives both knew about this.
Was that really surprising to you?
Which was very surprising to me, because maybe they didn't know the extent of it, but they did know it, and for it to not come out until now, and for them to...
Kudos.
You know what I mean? Like, especially his first wife, who they got the divorce because he fell in love with another woman.
Who didn't have a spiteful bone in her body.
I mean, maybe because they knew how serious the issue was. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, he's been through three marriages, but he got into those marriages before they knew exactly what he was dealing with internally, which to me, I'm like, oh man, like, you know, don't keep getting married if this is just going to be an ongoing struggle. Yeah. Because, you know, not to get it in a completely different conversation, but a lot of people can't get married. So let's, you know, not keep marrying 18 million times just because you can, or you're trying to, have another outlet of something.
Right.
But that's not to say that you can genuinely love these women, but to have a completely honest marriage. But I mean, Chris kind of knew.
They were together for 20 years.
Yeah, and she had seen him cross-dressing, and when they met, he was taking the hormones, so she knew to some extent.
Yeah,
and
he said he had been developed in a place that you couldn't just undo, or something like that.
And I was like, holy crap!
So whether or not, you know, she probably maybe thought maybe it was a phase or something, but. She had an idea.
I don't know. I think that's also a testament to their love and their connection that maybe it was just more than that, than just that basic. Because, and also I think she's the type of person, that's what I like about, it's if she had found out, you know, a month, 2 months before they've been divorced, then you would say, okay, we understand this. But since she had known for so long and they did stick together and stay together, I think that's a testament of their connection that they had. Yeah. And, you know, that it was just more than your average, I guess, marriage. I don't know.
What did you guys think about the part when he was talking about how Kylie and Kendall A had seen him on the computer
when it had filmed him,
seen him wearing dresses, and then also when Kim had experienced it as well. But it was kind of like one of those taboo things to talk about. They never even brought it up or whatever. Like, what did you guys think about that? Because I found it very interesting that was just, oh, we saw Bruce in a dress, we're never talking about this.
I think Bruce came across, the whole interview he came across well, but he came across really well in that story, specifically about Kim. in that Kim saw him and like went away and took a drive and then came back and she's like, I thought we were never supposed to talk about it again. And he didn't seem to take anything personally. It was sort of, and I don't know that he said this verbatim, but it was kind of like, this is my burden, this is not yours. If you have a question, come to me. If you don't want to talk about it, we don't have to. If we do, we do. And I think that's kind of the attitude, because this is a bomb to drop. Even if it's been a long time in coming, this is still, even if Chris knew and whoever knew, this is still a bomb to drop, especially on the kids and certainly on society who follows this. So for him to be so open and to say, let's talk about it or we don't, you know, if you want to take a drive, that's cool. Having that patience on his end is very, very necessary too, because not everybody's going to just be hunky-dory with it right away. That doesn't mean they're going to turn him away, but it takes time and you know, I don't know, therapy or whatever, but it takes some sort of conversation, a serious conversation.
You have to keep talking. Like any issue, and I don't want to say this is an issue, but any issue that arises in any kind of relationship, you have to just talk it through and you have to be willing to be open and honest. Otherwise, it's going to be weird. But I just thought about this right now. For them to kind of not want to talk about it, they have other factors that us, quote unquote, normal people don't think about. Like, they have the paparazzi, they have stalkers, they have other people. If they make it an issue, the world's going to see it's an issue. And, you know, they were respecting, in a way, you know, their dad by not bringing it up and not saying. However, I would be extremely curious and I'd be asking a million questions, but I would definitely, I feel like I would definitely just as been in shock. But my I think my favorite thing was when he said that he can't imagine dying and not have been himself. I think that was like, that was like the most important thing is, you know, I'm like, I'm pushing 30 and I'm like, I have to dye my hair. I can't reach my 30s until I dye my hair. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's very insignificant in this, but I can't imagine not being able to do something that you want to do or be who you want to be. And you're on your deathbed and you're like, what, you know, what the heck?
And I, going off that point, I loved Kendall posted on Instagram a thing that she had written when she was really little or whatever, and it was like a fill in the blank type thing. And she said, if you could be anyone in the world, and she wrote, I would want to be my dad. And she posted it the day after the interview, and I thought that was really sweet because it goes back to that whole hero thing. They still look up to him, and he really did emphasize, you know, you're not losing your father in this. I'm still always going to be here for you. And it's understandable that that's a concern for them. They're like, so do we call you dad? Do we call you, like, what do we do?
Hey, big guy.
Just like all the things that we've done our whole lives and like seeing you as our father, and it has never been up for debate how good of a father he is to all 10 of the kids. He's always there. He always gives good advice.
Well, right now, he hasn't always been for Brandon and Brody.
That's a lesson learned from him, too.
And I think also I liked when he said, you know, she has always been a big part of your upbringing. Now we're just going to see her. And I think that's a thought that at first you don't really comprehend. And if you're the kids, it's hard to comprehend. But as you just sit on that thought for a little while, it starts to make more sense in understanding, okay, that is where it's coming from, and this is it's just more honest and more open, and you're going to get more of that. And I think that's really a beautiful way to put it, the way he said that.
Now, E is doing this docu-series about him. We are totally going to do this thing. Do you guys have any faith in E to do justice to this story in this series?
I have faith in Bruce. Not so much E. I'm sure they will follow through, but I think he will be the one to make sure that there is still private parts, and as there should be, and public parts, and that the goal of the show, like he said, is to be an example and to help others. It's not to exploit the process or whatever that is, and I have faith in that.
I agree with that, and I think this is a really great opportunity for E to do something like legit. No offense.
Substantial.
You know what I mean? But like something with some, you know, that could actually make some sort of difference.
This is going to be a great conversation because, you know, gay rights is a huge thing that's a lot of us know a lot about now in society because its time has come. But when you're talking about, you know, transgender issues, very, very few people know enough of what they should about this. This is a different level. So something like this will start a conversation to make us say, okay, which pronouns do we use? He wants to use he and him as of now. Which pronouns do we use? Do names change? When do you change your name? What's the deal with cross-dressing versus transitioning? Like, all of these things that to him, he's worked out in his head and still is working out. To us, we're kind of like, okay, we need to get up with the terminology. Now's the time to do this, to learn how to talk about it in a respectful way and all that sort of stuff. And that's, I think, the benefit of this e-series is we can actually see this process and see what everything looks like. Now, the detriment is, look what E's done so far. You know, it's not that it's bad or vain or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of is, but it's just superficial. So I hope they can go a little bit deeper.
One thing I think is really important that I took away, and I want to know if you guys did too, is if he had done this in the 80s or even 5 years earlier, I don't know. At this point, it seemed like he was ready. You know, he had either sat down with it or when he was speaking, he seemed sure about it. It wasn't so much questioning and coming to things. And therefore, that's why I have a little bit more trust in the documentary, because I feel that he's ready to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, when...
I don't think he was ready in the 80s, honestly.
No, exactly.
If he was even hiding it from Chris or hiding it with who he's married to and downplaying it, like he said, I don't think that shows that he was ready in that moment to fully take on what was going to happen when it...
And that could have been detrimental to his overall health if that was to hit the public.
It seems like now he's ready, he's come to terms with it, and he just wants everyone to be open-minded about it.
And have a sense of humor throughout. Like he said, if we don't have the sense of humor. Even when he said, if this is the worst thing, and she was like, what do you mean if this is the worst thing? Like as if it, you know, it was really...
Right.
And he just... And that's the mindset that he had, and I think that's empowering also of like, yes, it's big, yes, it's a hard thing to hurdle, but... You know, I have my health. I have an amazing family. Yeah. I'm lucky. Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to be, you know, in a rush to make any huge with the operation. He's like, well, I don't have any plans right now. He's definitely done his research, but he's going to take it one day at a time.
Crucial,
and I think that's the smart way to do it. You know, just kind of ease into it. Mm-hmm. And he seems to be really smart about every step he's taking. So, I mean, I can't have enough respect for him, honestly.
Same here.
I cannot even imagine the amount of pressure. Having 10 kids, having to worry about what they think.
And that then, family with that limelight. I mean,
And think about not even just the limelight of the people you don't know who follow you, but think about the people you meet from the Olympic thing, from the Kardashian thing, from the speakers tour.
Right.
Think about all the people we meet every day who are acquaintances, who we see at AfterBuzz, who we see at wherever else. All those people have seen this interview in his life, and he has to meet them again tomorrow and the next day. And guess what? Those are thousands of people. 99% are going to be like, dude, you go for it. But there's going to be a small portion.
Absolutely.
And they may never say anything, but even in the back of his head, I know he knows there's going to be a portion who think I'm weird, I'm different, this is wrong.
Who will never be able to understand that.
And there's got to be some kind of intense pressure there to not even feel like you have to conform for them or whatever, but just feel like you're not good enough to people you've worked with or known or whatever. Mm-hmm. And for him to be strong enough to come out and say, screw it, it doesn't matter, I have to tell this story anyways. Regardless of what you may feel, not the American public, but people he knows.
Yeah.
The greatest part is that, you know, regardless of all of these opinions that are out there, and yes, there are so many people that are watching this story, but the greatest part of it that makes me so happy is that now, after all these years, he's known since he was 7 that this is something he's going to struggle with, that he is finally able to be completely honest with himself, completely honest with all of his wives, ex-wives, and all of his children. Like, that's got to be the most, like, freeing feeling to just be like, you know what? This is how it is. Now I can be myself however I want to be. I can go to the grocery store dressed as, you know, a woman or however I want to dress, and I don't have to worry about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's got to be – I just have so much respect for that.
Well, he said it's draining being Bruce. And just that made my heart, you know, it's draining being Bruce, who he's been for all his life. Like, you never want to hear somebody say that.
It's weird to think that this guy was, you know, one of the greatest athletes ever, won the decathlon, won all these Olympic gold medals, had the greatest, you know, 1976 was on top of the world. And in his own mind, he's like,
that's a sad person.
Yeah, when he
person.
Said he looked at that's the photo and he said, person. That's a sad person.
That's it. For all of us who don't achieve that, we're like, God, I would love to do that.
Right.
And he's like, it's not as great
but
as you think.
It made a lot of sense when he said, you know, that period of time was me trying to prove my masculinity to myself.
Yeah.
And it's just like, wow, like we all are like, he's such a hero. Like he won all these gold medals, like thinking, you know, he is on top of the world when really he's dealing with this huge thing, trying to prove something to himself that really never goes away.
Right. Yeah. And that's why he was the Olympian that he was because of the
motivation and drive behind it. I think
it's an unbelievable story.
Yeah.
It really is.
It really is. And I think what it's going to do, like you said, in New York, from coast to coast, it's very easy for us to live in this bubble and have a different outlook on the whole situation. Yeah. But I think he could be, and what I believe and I hope, is that he will be bridging the gap from LA to New York or from coast to coast so that everyone, because everyone can relate. What generation, different points, but everyone can relate to his story, I think, and, you know, whether they know.
Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's crucial. Because what other person do we have that everyone can at least have some sort of relation or memory towards?
And this is another, going back to sports culture, because it matters so much, especially in middle America. This is another athlete who's, again, extending the conversation about LGBT issues in sports, where it's a very heterosexual environment, mm-hmm. a very masculine environment. And yes, he's a former athlete and hasn't competed for 40 years, but it's just another one, and it's a massive name. This isn't a guy on the outskirts. This isn't a guy who played baseball for a year,
right.
retired, and came out 10 years later. This is one of the greatest Olympians ever who's now talking about this, and the hammer just keeps falling. And mm-hmm. you can't ignore it anymore. You shouldn't have anyways, but you can't ignore it anymore, and the next one's going to push it a little further, and the next one's going to push it a little further, and eventually one day this will be no big deal and nobody will have these interviews yeah. anymore. But until that point, it's important to have people do stuff like this, and yeah. he's just the next foot in line. The march continues on.
Yeah.
right.
I like, speaking of sports, I like that Kim was like, so are you a tomboy? But oh, I mean, because he still likes golf, and
yeah.
he likes to fly his helicopters and stuff
right.
like that, and
you know, he said he was like, I think I am.
Yeah.
I have to give Kanye credit.
Yeah.
Yes,
what credit is due. Y'all know I don't always talk great about Kanye, but I was very happy to see that, to see the advice he had given to Kim, saying, you know, if I had the most beautiful wife in the world, which I do, and the most beautiful kid in the world, which I do, if I wasn't happy with myself, I couldn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that's supposedly what really helped Kim come to the realization mm-hmm. and be there. And I think, you know, props to you, Kanye, for this one time.
If there's one community that is not kind to LGBT issues more than the sports community sometimes, it's the hip-hop.
Yeah.
So for Kanye to say that too is equally important, and maybe a lot of people who really follow Kanye and not the Kardashians won't come over just because he said this, but again, it's another step in the right direction.
Because Kim did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because remember when...
True, yeah.
I mean, because Kim wasn't that accepting of it, but then she was like, Kanye really turned me around.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe them including this on this interview, Kanye's fans could turn them around as well.
Because do you remember when Frank Ocean came out? There was tons of negative
mm-hmm.
backlash with that all over social media. So I do think that was great that he mentioned Kanye in the interview, because like you said, the hip hop community especially is a very difficult, and you know, hip hop is a big part of a lot of, you know, African American culture. And I like that Bruce made the point that it's really hard, especially for African Americans that are transgender as well. They get, you know, it hurts them mm-hmm. a lot harder than just everyone else.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just everyone involved, everyone that made a positive comment in his family and that he spoke about, is just made everything it was a great interview.
And the overall the wave of positivity and the wave of positive things outweighed some of the negative things, like we saw, you know, there was, and do I don't know if you want to
we'll talk about Chris in a second, but I will say I looked all over conservative I looked all over conservative Twitter for
conservative Twitter.
No, like very conservative people on Twitter. I looked all over it for Bruce Jenner reactions and didn't see a whole lot. I didn't see a ton of like people putting their foot in their mouth, and I know there were some, but I'm very happy that not a ton of public figures did.
Yeah.
Chris Humphreys.
Oh yes.
Okay, so Chris Humphreys tweeted, you know, glad I got out when I did, hashtag gotta do you. And mm-hmm. then later clarified it with his, you know, my hashtag gotta do you was be happy who you are, Bruce. I should have clarified that.
Yeah.
Chris.
That didn't make...
Excuse my language. Shut the fuck up. Just, you cannot win by... And you're already out of the family. You're out. We know you're gone. You got out when you did. Don't say anything.
Yeah. The only I just don't even want to talk about that because he is just so irrelevant and just trying to make himself relevant again. And it just drives me nuts. The only thing I will say about that though is that there was a lot of miscommunication on Twitter because of that tweet, and people are like, oh, Chris said this, saying it was Chris Jenner.
Yeah.
Mm. Not Chris Humphreys. Oh, so there was like there was a huge miscommunication there. So people were like, I can't believe she said that. Like, she's such a bitch. Like, blah, blah. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, that is not anything that she said. But then Perez Hilton tweeted, which he was like, oh, there were, his first two wives were supportive, had comments, blah, blah, blah. Kris Jenner said no comment. And she tweeted him back and was like, I'm sitting right next to him. Like,
but what
I'm
was
weird
about that is Perez's tweet was a direct quote from Diane Sawyer on the program.
Well, there was it, because, yeah, I... So I was,
there was another miscommunication
there.
To
something else I wanted to ask you guys about. So they highlighted, well, not highlighted, but they had the original Jenner clan on the show, and they were all there to show their support, Brandon and Bert and Brody.
Cassie.
And Cassie, who I was like, I forgot.
Yeah. She looks really similar to Brandon's wife.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. I thought that was
Leah.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved when Brandon said, you know, I've never been more proud to call my dad, you know, my hero. I'm proud to be a son, and I just as much so when he was an Olympian. But they didn't have, you know, Kylie, Kendall, Kim, blah, blah, which was interesting to me because it kind of made it seem like the sides a little bit there to me, like just the way it was presented.
Yeah.
But then Kylie made a statement the other day that just said, you know, I support my dad no matter what. I'll come out with how I feel about this when the time is right. But she said, this is not about me.
I also think...
And so I thought that's a great point. If Kim, Khloe, Courtney were on there, people would be there to see what they were saying.
Yes.
This is
yes.
about Bruce. This is about his... life.
And you have to remember the venue and the journalist. Diane Sawyer is much older. The venue is ABC. Super fans are watching us. Super fans are watching E! Super fans know the family tree. Mm-hmm. The casual person or the Olympian Bruce Jenner fan knows Bruce Jenner, and then they know of the Kardashians. And if you see a Kardashian, you immediately think publicity, you know, publicity whores. Yeah. This is what it's about. And I think by separating himself, it wasn't so much as drawing lines. It was to legitimize the situation and say, we'll bring this part of the family on for the casual fan later when the time is right. But for now, this is the Bruce story.
This is not Kardashian.
Yeah, exactly. If you see the Kardashians, you see the three sisters or Kendall and Kylie, you will automatically think something that's not there, but let's just avoid that snafu right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then later, Prez was tweeting that he, from sources, he heard like Kris never, they never actually really got a hold of Kris for a comment or this and this and that. But I lost my thought. Go ahead.
I mean, that's just tough. Well, listen, I don't like if Bruce is with it was with Kris when he was watching it. Like, that's their own stuff to handle.
Yeah.
Whether she had a comment, didn't have a comment, there was a mistake. I just think that's, you know, irrelevant to me.
Yeah. It's
he told his story.
It's weird that ABC, especially because the Jenners are, or the Kardashians and Jenners are so involved right now.
Yeah.
It's weird that Sawyer would have even said, "We got comments from the first two wives. Kris
but
Jenner
not
had
Kris
no."
Jenner.
Comment.
Seems like she's positioning it in a way.
It was a little catty, like you said.
My cousin was watching, and she was like, "What a bitch!"
Yeah,
and I was like, "I don't think." No.
Yeah, I just don't think it was presented the best way.
Right.
Yeah.
But another thing I found that was interesting was that he said Khloe had the hardest time or is having the hardest time dealing with it, which, you know, makes sense because a lot of other people's burdens are she takes on.
We see in the episode,
too. And we see in this episode, which we'll talk about, you know, hopefully.
Eventually.
But, you know, that is interesting. And, of course, he says Courtney had the obvious, you know, concern about her kids, which, you know, makes sense, and that is very Courtney. That's not surprising. I wasn't actually surprised at all by Kim being very accepting.
I was a little bit. I thought when they were teasing us with the quote of, you know, you got to do you and you're going to do it well.
I thought it was going to be Khloe, and I thought Kim maybe.
A lot of people,
but I thought it really came off, it made it more real to me because it didn't feel polished. It wasn't like, everyone's okay with it. Everyone's doing great. It's like, no, Khloe kind of isn't into it. It's hard. When they cut to the quote or the scene with him and Khloe, when she said, you're the strongest male figure in my life, that, and I understand that's what Khloe's dealing with.
Yeah.
And he understands it too.
She just doesn't have a lot of, you know, good male relationships.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
In a weird way, not to read too much into it, but remember, Khloe also took her father, her biological father's death the hardest.
Yeah.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And this isn't a death, obviously, but it is a change.
I'm sure it can feel with the same
weight.
Like especially
right
away.
The idea of your father, though, you know what I mean?
And
It's difficult, and it shouldn't be a breeze. And he said this, you know, this isn't something that's supposed to be easy
right.
for everyone. And it's going to be hard, but I think he made a really good point of saying, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. I'm going to be here. It's still me. I'm just going to be more of myself.
In my true form.
I think that's the most important takeaway, is that no one is saying that this is easy. This is, you know, so easy to get over or whatever it is. But everyone is saying that it's not a negative thing, and it's not something to be judged upon. So yes, it's hard, but it's just not negative. I think that's like a number one takeaway.
And it's just a change, you know, and that's not gonna
change is hard for some. Yeah. Right. It just, yeah.
I think the other, really the biggest takeaway, maybe even bigger than that, is what their last thing Bruce said, be an open mind and be kind. Yeah. And there's tons of people who might not be down with this. And if you have religious reasons that you're not okay with this or whatever reasons, that's cool, but don't take it out on somebody who's going through this. You know, you can have your opinion, that's awesome, but be kind, at least have an open mind, and at least realize that, you know what, Bruce Jenner doing whatever Bruce Jenner does doesn't actually affect any of us.
Exactly.
At all.
Yeah. That's one thing I made a comment on Twitter was, if you don't understand or you don't like it, there's no need to negatively comment. Right. You could just move along.
And I was talking to a friend about this the other day. You know, he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to have this special. He didn't have to have this interview. This is not something he had to publicly share.
Right.
But, you know, I personally am so glad that he did, because it is a beautiful message. It is something that a lot of people do need to hear. And I'm just happy that we have the forum to, you know,
have an educated
discussion on it after watching this special, as opposed to, you know, I get like the gossip part of it. We, you know, you want to hear like, is he doing it? Is he not? But it is something that's so serious. That's like, I'm so happy we, you know, the four of us can sit down and have this conversation after watching it. Now we know this, you know, before this, I didn't know he was dealing with this before he was 7. I didn't know he took hormones for 5 years in the 80s.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, and I didn't even realize that?
Yeah.
I didn't know his wives knew. Like, I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's all of these little things that, in hindsight, you know, now they're all put together, and he's able to, you know, be himself
be
now.
Himself.
Like, do you, girl. Like,
seriously. You, girl. You know what?
I'm so happy for him,
him now. We want to extend that conversation to you guys. So if you're watching on YouTube, comment. As you always do, we get a lot of fun comments from you guys. But specifically about Bruce, we want to know what you think. We want to know what you think about our conversation and add to it.
Yeah.
And if there are people out there who are transgendered or have people in their family who are transgendered, educate us.
Help us.
Yeah.
And continue that conversation with us, with other people around you or whatever. We want to know.
The more people that can share their story,
exactly,
the better.
We want to know how we can, you know, approach this with sensitivity and with, you know, truth and significance and not make it a frivolous pursuit of what did Bruce do this week, but something that's a little more, you know, has a little more depth. So comment on YouTube. If you're subscribing on iTunes, you can tweet us. We'll give out our Twitters at the end of the show and all that stuff. I guess we'll move on to the frivolous.
Yeah,
now.
Thanks for hanging in there until we get to the show.
Like, I'm so glad we got to talk about that. That was awesome.
I was like, we should just do the whole thing this.
We definitely could, and I'm kind of glad we did, and we only have like 20 minutes left, because the rest of the show was boring as hell. The episode, the Sunday night episode, same old, boring stuff. We got Courtney, we got blah, blah, blah. So let's start with Courtney and Scott and the baby. Stop me if you heard this before. Scott went to Vegas.
Oh my God, he did?
And he got drunk.
Ugh, he was drunk like 2 seconds into Vegas.
Yeah.
He does it every time, and I really don't understand how Courtney can deal with it. Again, we only see what the TV shows us, but that has to just be just ridiculous.
Switching to this conversation right now just made like my eyes started watering. Like, I'm like about to cry, like thinking of how, like, I don't know, we're like talking about how, like, Bruce having these 10 kids and they're like having to deal with this huge struggle and like, and all, oh my God, I just,
and now back
like,
to Scott drunk in Vegas.
And now, like, it's just, you know, I've been affected by alcoholism, not personally, well, personally, just in my family, and like, it just, you know, this reality show about, and they just, I don't know if it's produced or what it is or the way it's like put together with him. You know, he's got a third child that can going to come out any day now. And I get Courtney not wanting him to come home after he's been drunk in Vegas.
Absolutely.
Like, I 100% get that, because you don't know how he'll act or whatever.
I mean, he was banging on Rob's door, crazy, like,
so aggressive.
Yeah, it children. Makes sense, but like, we've been seeing this behavior for 10 seasons. I just, you know, and this is whenever this was taped, I think is when he was, when the news came out that he was going back to rehab.
Mm.
I just really, 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 and we've talked about, you know, this with Rob and Lamar, but I really just want him to get help. And like, you know, so from going to this really serious conversation, now we're talking about Scott and dealing with this. When it comes to bringing in, you know, another child in this world and you're responsible for this child. And, you know, Courtney doesn't even know if he's going to be there in the delivery room. It it breaks my heart. It really does.
Well, I have to say, I was
in a serious mood with Bruce, and like usually on the show, it's so funny. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, listen, and think about it.
It's tough.
The secondary characters have the biggest serious storylines. Bruce does, obviously. Scott does. He's not one of the main girls, obviously.
So all the guys.
Rob does, and Lamar did. The biggest serious storylines are these. I want to unpack these instead of,
And it's just Kardashians reacting.
Exactly.
We could rename the show.
Kardashians and reacting. And Khloe, when they were in London and they were having a conversation, you know, Kim didn't say it the most eloquently, but she was saying, you know, this isn't cute anymore. He needs to get his shit together.
Yeah, even the two guys that showed up in Vegas were like, dude, go easy. Don't go crazy.
I think when I think about it, it's the same conversation over and over again. And I get that's a storyline. That's a huge part of their life. That's a huge part of something that's going on, especially with Courtney. But, you know, at some point, I just want them to stop making it like is something that happened on the show as opposed to something that he really needs to deal with.
Like I said, I don't understand how Courtney deals with it. And I'm sure he's obviously not the easiest person to deal with to try to get help.
Right.
But something needs to happen. And they have, you know, we say this about Rob, you know, they have all the money in the world that they can get someone to talk to, or they can do what they can to help. And I know it's, you know, the person has to be willing to change, but I just don't understand how they can all deal with it. And I feel bad for Khloe because, like we were talking about with Bruce and everyone else, she kind of takes everyone in and babies them, and because she's felt lost all her life and she doesn't want to be the person that's not there for somebody. But Chloe's going to have to, you know, stand up against him eventually, too, because he does go to her all the time. And I feel like if she put her foot down, like, really, really put
no
her foot down.
No more comfort, safety blanket.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Rob lives with her. When Courtney doesn't let Scott stay at the house, he goes with her.
At what point?
You know, it just breaks my heart for her as well, because she's, you know, having to go out on the balcony and have these conversations. He's drunk dialing her. That's not her burden.
Right.
You know what I mean? She didn't choose to be in a relationship with Scott.
But I will tell you this. After a certain point, it does become your responsibility to not attract. Yeah, exactly. You are enabling it. Because I'm sure we all have people that will complain about the same issue or dealing with it. And it's like at some point, it's also your responsibility to cut it off.
Exactly.
To stop it.
And you can extend that to Courtney, too. At some point, there's enough is enough and you have to walk away.
But in a way, don't you think he's not allowed to come home after stuff like that. She doesn't deal with it. He doesn't call her. She's kind of doing that to the most that she could without saying, you're no longer in my life, which I just don't think she wants to say that.
Which is unfortunate because there are maybe a serious argument that she should and could, you know? And the kids make it so much more complicated.
Right.
But the kids also make it so much more urgent. You keep having kids with this person who keeps proving incapable of living the way that you and everyone else need him to live. And at some point, you need to say, you know what? We need to work something else out here. Because if you're going to be removed from our family when you're drunk because I don't want you to be in front of our kids like this, one day, the epiphany is going to hit Courtney and say, wait a minute, I don't want you to be in front of our kids like this, period.
Ever.
It's too damaging. You're inconsistent. Even if it's gone for a day or two here, you're still inconsistent. And look at how emotional you are from dealing with this in your life. You understand this. There's just some level of inconsistency here, especially when you have little kids where everybody else is there. And it's like, wait a second, why is Dad not at home tonight? Mason's old enough to get this now.
Right.
Penelope will very soon be old enough to get this. And I think everything has to come to a head more than just this stupid Costa Rica rehab that we heard about that was apparently a joke, you know.
Yeah.
There's got to be something far more serious than that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, but I also do think there's one... I thought the same thing until there was one scene Courtney was saying to him. He was like, but I'm going away for a day. The plane is here. You're not supposed to be in labor for 2 weeks, and that's even if you're going to, you know, go early.
Right.
It's almost like she's pushing it on him, too, at times. And I can see that.
Yeah.
I don't disagree that he has his issues to work through, but I do think she pushes it on him, and she's like, maybe I don't want – or what did she say? Maybe I don't want you in there. Maybe you should – and he was like, oh, okay. She's feeding him stuff.
I don't think that she handles it the best way, like Francesca, you were saying, especially like when they were in the kitchen and he was sitting there and she was bringing it up. You know, she said, I don't even know if I could count on you being there. And Bobby, we watched this together and you're like, oh, well, that's just his way of like dealing with it. He says those little smart comments, which I get. That is very Scott. That is his personality. But when you are about to have a kid, you want to hear from the baby daddy that he's going to be there for you. You just need that reassurance there for a second. She doesn't want to hear that R2-D2 is going to be there instead of me or whatever. Just say...
Yeah, it's a little cringeworthy when you see
just
a bet.
Just say,
it's like,
I will be there. That's all she needs to hear.
Yeah.
Then the other part of that, going back to what you were saying, Nick, that she doesn't really handle it the best, because when she kind of hits him with it, and then she is smirking the whole time.
She does.
She needs to just be like, just tell me you're going to be there and not make it a sarcastic conversation. Have a real moment here. Just give me some reassurance.
I think that's their relationship, though. And again, I don't think it's the greatest. But because he jokes half the time, but then he said, really, I was there with you for the first two. Why would I not be there?
And he was there for the third.
And he was there for the third. And it was like what Kim said, you know, most of the time I'm on Scott's side. So that just goes to show you that there's actually a lot that goes on behind the scenes that we don't see. We just see Scott as this big bad wolf.
Yeah, we've never seen Kim stand up for him on the show.
Right. Yeah,
I don't think.
Yeah. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for her.
Right.
The whole thing is stupid. And Scott, too. And this is maybe a common sense thing, but when your significant other is going to have a baby, I feel like there's a couple week window on each side of the delivery date where you just don't go anywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Plan a Vegas trip. Nothing.
When it's not needed.
Yeah.
When it's like, you're not going to go hungry because you're not, you're not booking a gig in Vegas.
Even if you are a 40-minute private plane ride away, it doesn't matter. You
absolutely.
Gotta drive her to the damn hospital yourself.
Like, certain level of just respect for the other and empathy.
And then there's a certain level of understanding what line you don't cross in your career. And when somebody says, hey, come to Vegas, and you say, my girl's pregnant and about to give birth, and if they say come anyways, you say fuck you.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
And that's the real that's what you would want to hear.
But also, to this day, he's still doing these Vegas appearances. It's not like make it or break it for his whatever his career is.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, also, at what point are these Vegas things not so like cool when you're doing them every weekend? Doesn't it just become like Scott's here again? Is it special? Is it fun?
I guess
because it's new people rotating in.
Yeah. I mean, Vegas is ever transient. Yeah,
might as well just live at One Oak or whatever.
If Britney Spears and Cher can get their little situation where they do hundreds of shows, they do a residency in Vegas. Yeah. There's room for Scott.
Yeah.
Well, he needs to have some sort of talent.
I was just gonna say those are talented people. Yeah.
We can debate about them.
He should do like a little Lord show at the castle at Excalibur Hotel. Like that's what he should be doing. He shouldn't be partying and drinking. And we talked about this before, but. Yes, you're going there, you're going to get a table, you're going to get alcohol. Have one drink. Don't down the whole bottle before you even get
to the
club.
Don't even have a drink.
But I'm saying,
I mean, I say it from a point, but I know that's way more difficult than I make it sound, but just seems like, just don't order it.
Don't put yourself in the situation.
Start there. Exactly. We've talked about that before. Yeah,
it's a broken record.
It's the same conversation.
I'm not talking about it again. After this, I will not talk about Scott drinking and how we should stop again.
I have bad news for you. There's going to be six more episodes.
I'll sit silently. Okay. I'll sit silently and watch.
Okay. I mean, and Scott's our favorite person on the show. You know, we love Scott.
He's quite the character.
He's hilarious.
It's funny. Yeah,
we love him. I just.
For his own good.
Yeah. I think he's great. I think he's funny. But he obviously does have this problem that he struggles with.
It's a disease.
Yeah, it is. And I just don't love seeing it every week over and over and over.
Agreed.
For 10 seasons.
Yeah.
I think it's time to,
close the book.
Make some changes.
Let's move on to that stalker.
Yeah.
Real quick. Got a couple minutes left. Not a big deal.
No.
Completely... pre-produced producers. I'm not buying it at all. I know there are probably stalkers, but I'm not really buying what went on.
Whatever the footage is in the closet would be a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy that you can hack someone's camera.
Well, it's because of those apps that you have where you can like see what. So if you like pull it up, you can see what's going on in your apartment. But if that's all done through
internet,
the
cloud, anyone that
and, like,
latches
people can
on,
hack into that. That's crazy.
It's crazy,
especially and the whole pizza box thing that they were able to get to their door.
That I think is produced. When I see that, I'm like, no effing way.
Yeah.
20 pizza boxes made it to your door. We don't. Also, listen, they're in the spotlight. you're telling me at restaurants that's the first lady that's ever stared at them, or in a car exactly. that's the first car that's ever followed them? I don't believe it for a second. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
That's so true.
The audience is not that dumb. Yeah. Sorry, not that dumb.
Yeah. If I was at a restaurant and they were sitting next to me, I would totally be like,
everybody is. Oh God, if you told me you weren't, I'd be like, what is wrong?
I'd be
that's
like this
the
with
stalker.
My camera.
That's
like,
the weirdo.
I'm taking a selfie. Yeah. Just kidding. Taking pictures of them.
Exactly.
When that girl is just sitting there, she tries to take
wait, what do they say? That girl is too pretty to be sitting there on her own. Like, what are you saying?
Pretty girls like to eat by themselves sometimes, okay?
This stalker thing, especially those things, maybe not the camera, maybe not the hacking of the camera, but those things, talking about the girl, talking about the pizza boxes. It's weird because stalkers exist, and they have existed in Hollywood,
and there are
some
crazy people.
Are some definitely crazy people.
And there
as well.
Are some mm-hmm. horror stories. Stalkers have killed people.
Yeah.
But it's also on a different level, huge narcissism and incredible vanity to talk about your stalkers, to say, why is that person taking our picture? Why is this person following us?
Well, you're Kris Jenner. Of course they're taking our picture.
Do you want a reality show, maybe?
But it's an ego thing to even enter that into the conversation.
While I see your point, I don't necessarily agree, because while they do sign up for this by having their own reality show and they signed up for this by doing what they do, it's not fair that it happens to them all the time, like with the paparazzi and this like this. And I honestly, if I were a level of their famedom, is that a word?
Sure.
Fandom, how about that? We could use that one. I would be worried that people would be, even with security, you don't even know. So someone on your security team might
could actually be crazy.
Well, and stuff has happened to Kim in the past where people have like grabbed at her or threatened her. And I mean, it is a very real concern for someone as famous as they are. And I get that. And I mean, maybe they just needed something to talk about in the show for this time, or maybe something happened. And maybe that footage hacking thing isn't even real. Maybe they just made that up.
I feel like
we might have,
that's not true. I'm sure they have a lot of people to do damage control.
We would have heard something.
Yeah. See, here's my thing. I thought that could be the only one true thing that happened, and they just couldn't have that one scene, so they had to sort of build around or take the scraps and build something from it. I agree on the platform of, listen, they do sign up to be public figures, and I get that, but I do still think that they are entitled to their privacy, and that's always where I'll stand at, like the paparazzi issues and things like that. But overall, can't tell me it's the first time you had security at your house.
100%
won't believe it.
I mean, they know this game. They've played this game for a long time. Yeah. You can't tell us in season 10 that you finally now got security.
Guns. There's people that want to get in my yard. You're kidding.
I'm surprised more things haven't happened just because of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's creepy. I've had someone, you know, take the same exit as me, go into the same like shopping center. Obviously, they weren't following me, but like, you know what I mean?
No,
but
you never know though. I mean,
I hope not.
Crazy.
And sometimes
people.
I'm driving behind someone, and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm following them because I'm going the same way. But I mean, if I was, like I said, at their level of being famous, I would definitely get paranoid at times.
If Jonathan has a security team, I think they should have a security team. That's what I said during it. That's my last and final point.
All right, last final thoughts on stalkers, on Scott, on Bruce Jenner.
What about vaginas?
What about vaginas?
Why was Kendall and Scott having, like, you don't recognize her?
I think they don't have any footage of Kendall, so they're just using anything they had, which was a topic
of
vagina.
That we all love. That's the Scott we want to see. That's what we want, you know, when he's there, and then also when he's playing with the kids. Like, I want to see more of that.
Yeah.
And he's obviously funny and smart. He's intelligent as hell. Yeah. He's quick. He's so much going for
him.
He's
great.
It's like,
he really is. It's just,
got some killer cardigans. He's repping the cardigan all the time.
I told you.
Did you say that?
He was making fun of my sweater. He's like, oh, that's what Scott wears or whatever. But
I wasn't making fun. I was impressed. Like, you and Scott.
Oh. Hey, Scott, let's do a shoot. No. But yeah, like, he has an issue, but other than his disease, you know, he seems like a cool person.
Exactly.
Is that an Apple Watch?
It is. I just got it today, yeah. Thanks.
Well, we bottomed out. Hey, again, guys, as we get going, we are out of time. We're running a little bit late, but please comment on YouTube. Tell us what you think about Bruce, how the interview was done, and our conversation. We want to hear from you guys, so if you had a point to add on that, if you want to add to our knowledge base, if you know something about transgendered issues because you've lived it or you have a family member live it, we want to hear from you guys. So hit us up on YouTube or on Twitter, as Sterling coughs out a lung. Twitter, Frankie, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, XOXOCESCA. But if you want to come in my tweets, be positive and supportive. I don't need negativity.
I do.
Okay. Yeah, as always, you can find me at Nicholas Grava, Twitter or Instagram. I'll take negative or positive. Let's chat it out.
And you can find me at Sterling Capes on all platforms.
All things. I'm at Bobby DeMuro. We are done this week. We'll be back next week with more Kardashians. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.